Are you connected? How's your connection? If somebody were to ask you that, they might be talking about technology, right? Are you connected to the internet? You have Wi-Fi connection? How's your cell phone connection? Called a brother in the church just last week and started to talk, and he said, Pastor Les, can I call you back? We have a bad connection. You know, connection is important in technology, but connection doesn't just apply to technology. It applies to personal relationships. Like being connected, if you're married, connected to your spouse. Or your connection to your kids. Or your connection to your extended family. Isn't that important? Especially when you have get-togethers at holidays. connections are very, very important. I learned this in a very practical sense many years ago at this church. We were meeting, and some of you may not know this, we were meeting in the basement of the old building. That's where we started. This wasn't here. The fellowship hall wasn't here. We met in a basement. We called it the bunker. And I remember, just like it was yesterday, coming to church on Sunday morning, walking down into the bunker, and it was hot. You know the weather we had a week ago when it was hot? You know that? That's what it was like outside. And it was hot, even down in the underground bunker. It's hot and stuffy. I got there early to set up and to pray, and so I thought, man, the air conditioning's not on. So I went over, turned down the thermostat, and turned the air conditioning on. And guess what? It didn't work. And we had warm fellowship that day. We had warm worship that morning, man. It was hot. One of the guys in the church knew somebody that fixed air conditioners, and he called him, and I met the guy at the church on Monday morning. I showed him where the air conditioner was, and he went to work. I came back down into the church, down into the bunker, and it wasn't long before he came down and said, I know what your problem is. He said, come with me. And so I went out and walked out to the air conditioning. And he said, do you see this little, I think it's called a toggle switch. It's a toggle switch. And when you turn on the air conditioning, the toggle switch triggers and it connects the two terminals. And then all the power, the electricity that comes into the air conditioner is connected, and it turns on the air conditioning. He said, let me show you the problem. Look at this terminal. And on the terminal was a big, old, nasty bug. I mean, it was a big thing. And that bug had been in the wrong place at the wrong time. And when I turned that air conditioner on and the toggle switch triggered, he got fried. Or she got fried. Got fried. And that bug and the bug juice broke the connection. You know what? There was nothing wrong with the power station. There was nothing wrong with the power coming in. In fact, praise God, there was nothing wrong with our air conditioner. I was thankful for that. The problem was no connection. And there was then no power because there was no connection. Connection is important. And it's also, folks, it's vitally important in the spiritual realm. Vitally important in the spiritual realm. So I'm going to ask you a question. Another question. How's your connection with Jesus? How's your connection with Jesus? Do you have a connection with Jesus? Is it a good connection? Are there bugs in the system? I want to talk to you today about the connected life. Take your Bibles, open them up to John 15. John 15. We're going to take a look today at the connected life in John chapter 15. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 1 through 11. Why don't I just read those right now? Look at verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Amen. A close, vital, living relationship, connection with Jesus will lead to a productive, fruitful Christian life and bring glory to God. Did you get that? A vital connection with Jesus will lead to a fruitful life and bring glory to God. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we just give you praise this morning. We thank you that, Lord, you have not left us as orphans, but you have sent your Holy Spirit to live within us, to convict us, to speak truth to us through your word. And Lord, today we pray that you would have full reign. I pray that, Lord, through this message, you've spoken to my life, Lord. Would you speak to every individual here in this church about the connected life? And whatever you need to do in our lives, Lord, we just give over to you. We just humbly ask you to do it so that we can bring glory to your name. You deserve it, Lord. Speak to us now. We pray in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. 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 First of all, look with me at the picture of the connected life. The picture of the connected life. Let me give you a little bit of background. Verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine, the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so it will bear more fruit. The picture of the connected life. And I want to begin the background of this. You remember that this address here is part of a bigger address, if you will. Chapters 13 through chapter 17 is called the Upper Room Discourse. And although it's all called the Upper Room Discourse, I don't think all of it is given in the upper room. Look at chapter 14, verse 31. You see what Jesus says there? He says to his disciples, "Get up, let us go from here." They were in the upper room. He said, "Get up, let's go." And I believe that these words were spoken as Jesus and his disciples went from the upper room and made their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Actually, as they went there, they were going through or along what is called the Kidron Valley. And one thing we know about the Kidron Valley at that day, it was covered with grapevines. It was covered with vineyards. And it may be, now we don't know this, and maybe as Jesus walked with his disciples through the vineyard, he gave this metaphor. He spoke these words. Now, he may have just pulled this out of there, but if you look at Jesus, he always used different pictures as he would walk around, and he would use things to teach. These words could have come right in the middle of a vineyard. And the connected life is pictured as a branch connected to a vine. A branch connected to a vine. Now there's three elements, right? Three elements. The first is Jesus says, "I am the true vine. I am the true vine." This is another one of the I am statements of Jesus. Remember, there's seven of them. Can you name them? Chapter 6, "I am the bread of life." Chapter 9, "I am the light of the world." Chapter 10, "I am the door to the sheep." Chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." Chapter 11, "I am the resurrection and the life." Chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And now here's the last of the I am statements. You remember all of those I am statements point to the deity of Jesus. It's a deity of Jesus. Because back in chapter 8, verse 58, when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And that's the very words taken from Exodus 3. When Moses was at the burning bush, "Who should I say sent me, Lord?" "Tell him I am." These are definite statements of the deity of Christ. And here Jesus says, "I am the true vine." The true vine. You see, in the Old Testament, Israel was the vine. Israel was the vineyard. And if you're reading through the scriptures and you're using one of our guides to go through, we are going through Isaiah right now. And in Isaiah chapter 5, it says God planted a vineyard. And he tended the vineyard and he cultivated the vineyard. And you know what? The vineyard brought forth wild grapes. It didn't do well. You see, Israel was unfaithful and didn't bear the fruit that God wanted them to bear. Now Jesus says, "I'm the true vine. I'm the faithful vine." You see, again, John the Baptist, he reflected the light of God. Jesus is the true light. Moses gave bread in the wilderness. Jesus is the true bread come down from heaven. Israel was the vine in the Old Testament. Jesus now is the true, faithful vine. He is the vine. He is the vine. There's another element. My Father is the what? The vine dresser. The vine dresser. The vine dresser is the one who takes care of the vine and branches with a desire that fruit would be produced. The vine dresser, listen, will do anything, everything he needs to do to get the vine and the branches to produce fruit. That's his job. That's his job. The Father is the vine dresser. We're going to talk about that. And then the Christian or the believer is the branch. Do you see down in verse 5? Down in verse 5, it says, you are the branch. I am the vine. Well, I look out right now, I see a bunch of branches. You're branches. You are the branches. And this is a picture. It's a picture of our lives. Being connected to him so that, listen, and this is important, this week and next week, his life can flow through us. His life flowing through us. You see, that's the Christian life. It's not me trying to hard to do this and hard to do that. And hard. It's letting his life flow through. The picture is a vine and a branch. And the life of the vine flows through the branch. It's a connected life. Now, there's a difficulty with this picture, and I have to clear this up or try to clear it up if I can. The greatest problem in interpretation is in verse 2. Do you see verse 2? It says it talks about these fruitless branches. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Uh-oh. You know, some people look at that and they say, oh my. Oh my. In fact, there are people that say that what this means is that the true Christian who does not really bear fruit for the kingdom, God will cut off. I think it's the NIV. I'm not sure. I think it says he'll lop them off. And if you don't really, really serve God, and if you're not working for God, God just may cut you off and you may lose your salvation. That's the, what is called, the Arminian view. That's the Arminian view. Now, what's the problem with that? It's not scriptural. Right? The Bible teaches, you remember back in chapter 10? You remember chapter 10 and verse 28? I know my sheep, they hear my voice, they follow me, and I give to them eternal life. And they shall never what? Never what? Perish. They shall not perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hands. Father is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father one. If you are a true Christian, you can't be cut off. Don't get nervous. People worry, oh, maybe I'll lose myself. You cannot lose your salvation. If you're truly saved, you are secure in the vine, in Christ. So that one, we'll just throw that out. Another interpretation of this is that these are mere professed believers who are finally severed from a superficial connection with Christ. And they point to the fact that this had already happened already earlier that night or that evening with Judas Iscariot. Remember? He was a superficial believer, a superficial follower. He wasn't truly saved, but he was attached to Christ. And so he was cut off. What's the problem with that? Look at verse 2. Every branch, what? In me. In me. And you know what? That sounds like what? A Christian. A Christian is somebody that's in Christ. And Christ is in us. Like the bird is in the air, and the air is in the bird, or the fish is in the sea, and the sea is in the fish. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. So it sounds like those branches, those fruitless branches, are actually Christians. So what's the solution? Well, this is what I believe, so this is right. The fruitless branches represent true Christians who are not bearing fruit. Now, that's not natural, but they're not bearing fruit. And the Father, it says, takes them away. But the key here is that word takes away is the word, Greek word, airo, A-I-R-O, airo. And according to Strong's, it means to lift up, to raise, to bear up, to carry, to take away, or to take up. In his book, Secrets of the Vine, and some of you have that book, he shared with me, Bruce Wilkerson states, quote, every branch in me, true Christian, that bears not fruit, he lifts up. He raises them up. He says, in Israel at that time, in ancient Israel, the grapevines were allowed to grow on the ground. And the vines can get dirty. Pests and molds can get into them. So the vine dresser lifts them up, props them up on a stone, or takes a twig and puts it in the ground with a little V and props it over the twig. He lifts up those branches that are on the ground. It's the same thing we do with tomato plants, right? We put them up. It's the same thing they do in grape and in vineyards today. They have grape arbors where they put them up. And so this is what I believe the Father does. Do you see that? The branch in Christ, not bearing fruit, he lifts it up. Why? Why? Well, he lifts it up because he wants us to do what? Bear fruit! He wants you to be fruity Christians. I mean, he wants us to bear fruit. And he will do, listen, everything and anything he has to do to get us to bear fruit. You see, this is not a negative thing. Everybody goes, oh, he's going to lop me off. He's going to cut me off. No. Your Father loves you. And he wants you to bear fruit. So he'll lift you up. If you're down, he'll lift you up. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. In a minute. Well, what about verse 6? Look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. Oh my. Well, don't worry about that. If you're a Christian, don't worry about that. Because that's not talking about a Christian. Because you see, it doesn't say if you don't abide in me. It says if anyone or any man. If people aren't connected to Christ, guess what? They're not a Christian. And you know what? If they're not a Christian, let me put it this way. A vine is only good for one of two things. Bearing or burning. It's not good for building. Only one of two things. It's either going to bear or get burned. And this is talking about the fact that somebody without Christ will be cast into fire. Divine judgment. Divine judgment. But that's not talking about a Christian. That's talking about somebody outside of Christ. But here we have those three things here that God, three pictures here, but the whole picture here of the connected life is a life of union with Christ as a branch is attached to the vine. Are you connected? Christian, how's your connection? How's your connection? That's what I want you to think about. How's your connection? Now, that's the picture. Look with me now at the process of the connected life, the process. And if you look at this, I believe as I looked at this, there are two parts of the process of being connected. First of all, it's our part. We have a part in being connected. We have a part in this. You see, the key to the connected life is the word abide, abiding. That word, and you can put this down in those 11 verses, 10 times. Abide, abide. What does it mean? Well, it involves, first of all, it involves relationship. You can't abide in Christ until you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Can't. You can't abide until you have that personal relationship. 1 John 4:15 states, whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. You've got to come to Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship, you can't abide. But you can have a relationship today. You can come to Christ. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can invite him into your life to be your Savior and the Lord of your life. And that's the first part of living that connected life. It implies, abiding implies union. But it not only implies relationship, it implies, listen, fellowship. It has two parts, union and communion. Union and communion. If you're going to abide in Christ. J. Vernon McGee says, to abide means to be in constant communion with him, listen, at all times. Wow, can we really do that? Can we be in constant communion with him at home? I can just do that at church. Can we have communion with him at our place of work? Can we have communion with him out in our neighborhood? Oh my. Constant communion, constant fellowship. Abide is union and communion. Union happens at conversion. Communion is our intimate fellowship with the Lord. Listen, here it goes. Through personal prayer. How's your prayer life? Through communion with him in the Word. Every day. The Word. It's not I got to get into the Word. We got to abide. We got to commune with God. And God communes with us through his Word. So we got to be in the Word. We got to be in worship. Praise God. I'm thankful on a summer day. We have some people out to worship. Praise God. But then we commune with him. That's what we're doing. We're communing with. You know what? And I'll tell you another thing. It involves confession and repentance. You know what? If we're going to abide in him, guess what we got to do? Get the bugs out. I'll tell you, this morning, in my quiet time, I said, Lord, I'm going to be preaching on this, so I better be connected with you. You know, I don't want to preach a connected life and not be connected. And I went through, and I don't know about you, but I know my sins are ever before me. I have a list of them, and God hears them all every day. And I just go down through them just to confess them. Even I haven't committed them yet, but I confess them and ask him to cleanse me of them because I want to be connected. I want to have connection, divine connection, not just Wi-Fi connection. I want real connection with him, you see. It's interesting. And I noted this. The word fruit, karpos, is mentioned six times in the text. Just six. Six times. Does God want us to bear fruit? Does God want us to bear fruit?
Yes.
Thank you. I picked up some things from you, Pastor. Yes, he does. But why is abiding mentioned 10 times? Because to bear fruit, you've got to abide. That's it. I mean, you just, I'm going to go out and bear fruit. Well, that's important. You should go out and bear fruit. But you better abide. Because if you don't abide, apart from him, you can do nothing. You can't bear fruit, not for the kingdom. Not for the kingdom. You cannot bear fruit unless you're abiding. I think it was Warren Wiersbe said, the key to abiding is obeying. The key to obeying is loving. The key to loving is knowing. In other words, if you know him, you're going to love him. The more you know him, the more you're going to love him. And the more you love him, the more you're going to obey him. And the more you obey him, the closer will be your abiding, the closer will be your connection with the Lord. Well, see, that's our part. We've got to receive Christ. And then we have to keep in constant communion with him. Now, there's another part. God has a part. God has a part in the connected life. The Father is the vine dresser. He will do what is necessary to make you a fruitful Christian. You see, verse 1, every branch that does not bear fruit, first of all, he raises it up. It's three things he does. He lifts us. He lifts us. He'll raise it up. He will get you out of the mud of this world, away from the dirt, the molds, the pests of the world. Folks, this is not negative. It's a positive thing. He lifts us up. You know what? Sometimes, I don't know about you, and I've been struggling with this lately, tell you the truth. You can pray. Please keep praying. We get discouraged. I get down. And you know what God does? He lifts us up. He lifts us up. Psalm 3. Verse 3, you know Psalm 3, you know the background to that psalm? David was fleeing from his own son Absalom. Can you imagine if your son or your daughter was out to kill you and you had to get out of there? Can you imagine what you'd feel like? I mean, you'd feel like dying. And David, I'm sure, was struggling with discouragement. But he writes in Psalm 3, Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, the glory and the lifter of my head. It's like God would bend down with his hands and just lift David's face up. You know, when we get discouraged, the Father's there to encourage us. Psalm 145 and verse 14 says, The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. That's what he does. The Father's part in this, he lifts us up. A second thing he does, he cleans us up. He cleans us up. You see, the word prune there is katharo, from which we get our word cathartic from. To cleanse. And he cleanses us. He washes us. You know, that's right. And you know what? They even do that in the vineyards out in California. I read an account. They go through, and if a branch is falling down on the ground, they lift it up and they take buckets of water and they wash it off and then attach it back to the grape arbor. He washes us. He cleanses us. Cleans us up. Now, how does he do that? Look at verse 3. You are all already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Primarily, the way God washes us is through the word. As we read the word, he washes it. It has a cleansing effect on our life. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can he do that? Through the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hide the word in my, thy word, and I like the New American Standard, thy word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Chapter 17, we'll get there, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. He prays, Father, verse 17, Father, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. Primarily, he cleans us up through the word of God. He lifts us up, encourages us. He cleans us up. And he does something else. He prunes us. This is the best good news you don't want to hear. This is the best good news you don't want to hear. You see, he prunes us. He does this through discipline. The Father, the vine dresser, moves in. He cuts out those things that hinder our spiritual life. Like a vine dresser cuts away the sucker shoots. Those shoots that drain away vital materials that could produce a wonderful crop. Because the Father wants us to have the privilege of bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. He prunes us. Cuts away sin. Cuts away idols. One person in this church shared with us he had an idol. It was video games. And God had to someone else had a certain idol in a certain area. I'll just say it. There was an area in sports that God had to cut that away. Some have an idol of their job or making money. And the Father comes in. And he prunes us. But he doesn't just cut away those things. He cuts away good things that keep us from the better things. And he cuts away better things that keep us from the best things. He cuts them away. You can read about it. We're not going to turn there, but Hebrews 12 talks about that. It talks about the discipline of the Lord. And I want to tell you something about pruning. It hurts. Yeah, somebody said it. It hurts. Ah! God, what are you doing? What are you doing, Lord? This hurts. Why are you letting me go through this again? What are you trying to do, Lord? Do you really love me? It hurts. to get pruned. Listen, but it doesn't harm. It hurts, but it doesn't harm. In actuality, it helps us. It helps us because God wants us to bear fruit. You see, if you were to talk to a vine and branches, now don't try that. And they could talk back to you, and they were being, what about pruning? You're being pruned. How's that feel? Oh man, it hurts. But you know what? It's really helping us. Because those little suckers that are being cut off are hindering us from producing the best fruit. Isn't God great? We have a part. We've got to accept Christ. We've got to seek the Lord. We've got to stay in communion with the Lord. And then the Father goes to work and He lifts us up. He cleans us up and He prunes us. Praise God. Now the product of that whole thing. The three on your sheet, the product of the connected life. The first one, the first thing, the connected life will lead to much fruit. Did you see the progression there? In verse 1, no fruit. And then there's fruit. And then God starts pruning and there's more fruit. And look at verse 5. In verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears what? Much fruit. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And you know what? God doesn't, God wants me to bear a wee little bit of fruit. I'm not very talented. I can't speak. I don't care. God wants you to bear much fruit. I'm not going to tell you. I just read a book about Gladys Allward, who was ended up being a missionary in China. She couldn't even read. She couldn't pass tests to be in the missionary society, so she just left and went to China. And she was involved in that Inn of the Eight Happinesses or something like that. There was a movie about it. But she led thousands to the Lord because she was connected with the Lord. Much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But when you're connected, God wants us to bear much fruit. What kind of fruit? Now, let me give you these. You can write these down. He wants us to bear the fruit of souls. John chapter 4. You say that there are 4 months, then comes the harvest. I say, lift up your eyes, look on the harvest, look on the fields, they're ripe unto harvest. Go out and bear fruit. Fruit of souls. Then there's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control, faithfulness. That's fruit. He wants us to be that kind of a Christian that bears Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to bear the fruit of sanctification. That's what it says over in chapter 12 of Hebrews. He says all this discipline and what God's doing, it will lead to the peaceful fruit of righteousness and the holiness of God. Then there's a piece of good works. There's the fruit of good works. Colossians 1:10, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work. I'll tell you, Angie and Erica and all you that served in the Vacation Bible School, praise God for the fruit. Praise God for the fruit, yes. Praise God. See, He wants us to bear fruit in every good work. And then there's the fruit, you know what, the fruit of spiritual praise. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through Him, listen, through Him, Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that give thanks unto His name. I'll tell you what, you show me a church that's connected, and I'll tell you, they're going to have great worship services. I'll tell you, I love to be in the worship service. When you have a bunch of people that are connected, it's, oh boy, let's see, when are we going to go? No! No, 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 no. When you have connected people, people are excited to worship God. I'll tell you, worship and give Him praise. I'll tell you what, you have that. And then you have the fruit of sacrificial giving. The fruit of sacrificial giving. And that fruit is mentioned in Philippians 4:17. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the fruit which increases to your account. So souls, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of sanctification, the fruit of service, the fruit of spiritual praise, the fruit of sacrificial giving. Much fruit! That's what He wants. He wants much fruit. Now I'll give you these last ones. I'm going to go through this quickly. Number two, the connected life will lead to an effective prayer life. Effective prayer life. Verse 7, He says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. It'll be done for you. You are connected to Jesus, you have an effective prayer life. Number three, the connected life will lead to an obedient, loving discipleship. Come on. Amen. And it's verses 8c, He says, you'll prove to be My disciples. Just as the Father has loved Me and I loved you, abide in My love. If you keep My commandments, you'll abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. So, you know what? If you're connected with Christ, it's going to lead, Pastor Tyree, it's going to lead to discipleship. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. It is. You'll either be being discipled or you will be discipling somebody if you're connected with Jesus. And then it will lead, number four, to connected life will lead to fullness of joy. You see it down in verse 11? These things I've spoken to you so that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. I'll tell you, there's nothing like being connected with Jesus. In His presence, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. I'll tell you, the connected life. His life flowing through you and touching other lives. The joy. I'll tell you, the connected life leads to fullness of joy. And lastly, the connected life leads to the glory to the Father. You see it there in verse 8? By this is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. You see, when we're connected, when we have that personal, vital relationship, connection with Jesus, it leads to a fruitful life, and it brings glory to God. Praise God. So I'm going to stop. But I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Listen. Are you connected? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about, are you a church member? I'm not talking about, do you go to church? Do you have a personal relationship? Have you given your life to Christ? Have you, by faith, put your trust in Jesus? And what He did, the work's done. It is finished. It is. All we have to do is turn from going our way and put our faith in Christ, and then we're connected. Are you connected? If you're not, believe right now. Ask Him into your life. You don't have to do anything. He did it. You have to confess who you are. You're a sinner. And you need Him as your Savior. And that's all you have to do. Get connected. Now, many of us are connected. How's your connection? I mean it. Holy Spirit, search our hearts. This morning, church, how's your connection? Do you have a close connection? Are there bugs that you need to confess this morning and say, Lord, I'm done with that. I want to just wash that terminal off because I want your life to flow through me. Will you do that this morning? Will you come? I mean, you can do it right in your seat. You can come and kneel here and ask God, I'm done. I really want to be closer to you. And some of you, listen, let me say this. Some of us are right now being pruned. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. And would you pray for me that I would not? That I would yield to whatever God's trying to teach me in this. But if you want to come and just talk to the Lord and just say, Lord, I yield, you come. Father, we just thank you that we have the privilege through your Son Jesus to have a relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, again, I have already prayed that you would do a work in each of our lives. But if there's someone here today that maybe they're religious, maybe they're not. Maybe they go through the motions, but they really haven't come to that personal relationship. Would you speak to them right now and give them grace to repent and faith to believe? To get connected to Christ. And Lord, there's others here today, Lord, that we want a closer connection with you, Lord. We want to know you better. We don't want anything in our lives to drain away our time or our energy to keep us from bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. Lord, speak to us today. Lord, do a new work in our lives, I pray. Lord, we want to tell you we love you, we thank you. And I thank you, Father, that you're never so close to us as when you're pruning us. You're never so close to us as when you're pruning us. Lord, have your way in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people say, amen.